Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. The People's Republic of China in the Indo-Pacific. Headline from AP. Maldives gives port clearance to a Chinese ship. The move could inflame dispute with India. I welcome Gordon Chang, my colleague and co-host, and Kamran Bokhari. Kamran is Senior Director, Eurasian Security and Prosperity Portfolio at the New Lines Institute for Strategy and Policy. Gordon, I come to you because the Maldives, 500,000 people, archipelago, right now, is it regarded as pro-Taipei or pro-Beijing? Where does it stand, Gordon?
It is pro-Beijing. And the reason why the Maldives government allowed a Chinese survey research ship in is because of the closer relationships between Malé and Beijing.
Kamran, a very good evening to you.
Thanks for having me, John.
The policy of the Maldives, it is strategically placed in the Indian Ocean. Is this a significant success for China that it now has a research vessel calling in the Indian Ocean, given its ambitions for a string of pearls across the Indian Ocean reaching the Atlantic? Good evening to you.
Thank you, John. So I think this move of the Maldives to align closer with Beijing has to be placed in what has been happening to the Chinese strategy for the Indian Ocean Basin, the string of pearls strategy that you just referenced. So we know that China's efforts in Myanmar, in Bangladesh, in Sri Lanka, and even in Pakistan to sort of, you know, develop ports and build the core elements of a presence in the Indian Ocean Basin has been falling apart. Pakistan is in meltdown mode financially, politically, and the future of the Chinese investments on the port of Gwadar are up. You know, there's a big question mark on that. Sri Lanka defaulted, and that really undermined the Chinese position. Myanmar is falling apart, and rebel groups are taking good chunks of land away from the military government. That's not good for China. China's caught in that complex civil war. Bangladesh is more closer to India, and it's not been a close friend of the Chinese. So in this context, all of a sudden we see the Maldives, through an election, bring to power a government that came to power on the mandate of basically, you know, forcing India out or reducing ties with India and really firming up relations with Beijing, which we saw with the new leader of Maldives making his first trip to Beijing and meeting with Xi and other top Chinese officials. So, and this comes at a time when the Chinese are doing very badly on the economic and financial front. So the question is, to what extent can the Chinese leverage this opportunity?
What comes to mind immediately is how they leveraged in Sri Lanka. Are we going to see a repeat of that? Are they going to build a port nobody wants and an airport nobody uses? That's how the Sri Lankans failed government.
Yes. So you would assume that the Chinese have learned their lesson and they would not sort of push Maldives towards a similar fate, similar outcome to that of Sri Lanka. Where the country basically defaulted and the government, you know, the leadership, some of the leadership had to flee in the wake of protests. So you'd think that the Chinese would not want to go down that route and try something different. The question is, what can they try different? And they're also running up against, the Indians becoming very, very assertive in the maritime waters in that larger northwestern Indian Ocean space. And this has to do with the Houthi attacks from Yemen on commercial shipping that has provided an opportunity for the Indians to play a much bigger role, get more experience in blue water navigation. So it seems like the Indians have, given proximity to their landmass, have an advantage over the Chinese. The Chinese are have a weaker hand, at least for now.
Gordon, you have a question for Kamran.
Kamran, you mentioned a series of setbacks that Beijing has been facing across the Indian Ocean basin. Is that the result of individual situations in these various countries, or is it more the result of the failure of Chinese policies?
It's the latter. That's a great question, Gordon, and I'm glad you asked, because I do want to point out that there is a structural problem that is hardwired into the Chinese geoeconomic strategy. The Chinese go into countries that are malleable. And by definition, nations that are malleable aren't a whole lot of, there isn't a whole lot of political coherence in that country. And they are already weak, therefore they're malleable. The Chinese come in with their companies and build ports. And, the result is these nations become more indebted and they become even more, if you will, fragile, which is kind of like the Chinese pouring liquid in a tumbler that's cracked, and it can only hold so much. So this is you see this in Africa. Pakistan is probably the biggest example writ large of this, but it's across the board. This is the flaw within the Chinese strategy for gaining influence through economic means.
Kamran, you've written about India and Iran's relations, and you pointed to the trouble in the Red Sea and the Arabian Sea. However, Iran is part of the axis of resistance. It brags about it. It's in league with Russia, and that means it's in leagues with China as well. Is that a factor for India that in dealing with Iran, it now has to ask itself, is this a Chinese effort?
I think that there's the Chinese seem to be sort of, for lack of a better term, behaving for now. Why do I say that is because they face a decapitalization phenomenon. In other words, they need cash. They have a housing crisis. They have all sorts of, financial issues that are bogging Beijing down and causing stress for Xi. So you see Xi traveling to San Francisco to meet Biden. And since then, there have been a dozen different meetings since November between senior Chinese officials and American counterparts, with the Chinese trying to gain, some lifting of restrictions in terms of trade, investment, technology transfer. And so it's no surprise then that you see the Chinese coming out and telling the Iranians, rein in the Houthis, this is not good. And then you have Jake Sullivan, the national security advisor to Biden, going to Bangkok and meeting with the Chinese foreign minister to build upon that. So I think the Chinese are not a player in this. I think what we're seeing right now is there is a disconnect between, or if you will, a divergence of interest between India and Iran. India and Iran have been historically close allies to the extent that the Indians can afford not to upset the United States, but nonetheless. So what you now have is Iranian imperatives to dominate the Middle East running against Indian imperatives to make sure that, it is projecting influence. So if Houthis are attacking ships and the Indians are projecting influence in the same region, in the maritime space, that collides the two imperatives. How the Indians will work around this and find a modest vivendi with the Iranians remains to be seen.
But the Indians are not blaming Beijing for the attacks by the Houthis. Is that correct? They're not saying Beijing did it.
No, they're quiet. They're not even openly coming out and condemning the Iranians. They're quietly telling them that, hey, this is not good. But the Chinese are openly now publicly calling on the Iranians to stop this.
Gordon, a quick question.
So, Cameron, what we're seeing in the region is basically countries are now being forced to choose, or can they continue to try to sort of find a middle path?
30 seconds, Cameron.
Yeah, I think that balance and is becoming harder and harder to maintain. I think that what's happening between India and Iran is very emblematic of that. I think the countries will have to choose, at least in the here and now. Later on, they can go back to balancing when the conditions are more favorable.
The Indo-Pacific in play. Kamran Bokhari, Senior Director, Eurasian Security and Prosperity Portfolio, New Lines Institute for Strategy and Policy. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.